Ann Ariel for National Council of the Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, the Oral History Project. And we are here on May 1st, 1990, interviewing Sue Elkin. Could you please state your address and birthday or address, just for the purposes of sound level for the tape recording?
Birthday, August 9th, 1913.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, this is Elkin. I'm really glad to be here. The way I thought it would be easiest to start is if we begin with your background, your family, father, mother, siblings, and if you could tell us whatever you could tell us about them, and start at the beginning, and then we'll work forward to the present.
Okay, my father was Samuel.
I'm sorry, what?
You want the names?
The names.
My father was Samuel.
Uh-huh.
S-A-N-I-E-L.
Okay.
My mother was Clara Samuel.
You know their birthday?
I don't know the years. Dad was born, you can figure that out if you want. Dad was born December 15th. He died in 58 and was 79. How old was he? I mean, when was he born? I know how old he was. He was 79. 79 from 58. And mother's birthday was November 12th, and she was 2 years younger than my dad.
Okay. And where were they from?
Romania.
Were they born? They were born in Romania.
Born in Romania.
Came over.
Came to this country. I don't remember when mother came. Actually, I don't know when either of them came. Mother was an only child whose mother died when she was an infant. And she was raised by her father, my grandfather, and a housekeeper. She came to this country as a young teenager.
They were both from Romania, but they met here. Did they settle in Pittsburgh?
They met here. Dad saw a picture of my mother in a relative's house. Dad came from Romania directly to Pittsburgh. God only knows why. But he knew people here. And, he saw a picture of my mother and had to meet her, and they fell in love. And we married shortly after.
He went to
New York where she was to meet her. He wrote her first and asked if he might come to visit her. And she was living with her father and three old aunts.
When did they get married?
In
1902. And they moved to Pittsburgh?
Mom, Dad, and Grandpa came to Pittsburgh together. There was no honeymoon. They just came to Pittsburgh on a local. Now, you know, in those days, a local meant you sat up. It day coach, rather. I'm sorry, not mobile. Day coach.
So her father from traveled New York. With her.
Oh, yeah, because he lived with him. Mm-hmm. Can't you see that happening today?
Yeah. And what did they do? Were they professionals?
By profession, Dad was a lithographer. But he did not become involved in that. When he came to Pittsburgh, the only job he could get at the time, both he and my grandfather, was to light and maintain the gas lamps, which were then the street lights. Gas lights on the street.
Right.
Yeah. And after that, what did he do?
You say lithographer. Dad is an artist, right? Isn't that a
Well, yeah, very, very detailed. He became an artist.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the painting in the back.
Uh-huh. That's Carol.
Yeah. And it has S standing.
That's Carol in my mother's wedding dress.
Right about when he died.
He died in 1958, but he didn't start to paint until he was 75.
I thought that was you.
Thanks. My daughter.
So their profession, they became the only job.
Then, I don't remember what he did after that. But shortly after, he got involved in the film distributing business and opened a firm in partnership with another man called the S&S Film Company. Film in those days was made of celluloid, which was highly inflammable. And this was a very thriving business until somebody going up in an elevator with that film lit a cigarette and didn't put the match out. There was a tremendous explosion and fire. And
was anyone hurt?
No, only, I shouldn't say no. I don't know about the whole building. I only know about the top floor, which wasn't too high in those days, where Dad's company was. And he kept all employees get down on the floor and had to keep hold his partner who only wanted to jump. Dad was the one who had any problems after he suffered from smoke inhalation.
When did this happen?
In 1921. And that was the end of the film company. From that, he went into... opened up the Pittsburgh Commercial Bank, which was one of the only banks of its kind around dealing with foreign currency. And I can't be 100% sure of all the facts. But he dealt with a lot of foreign people. And at one point, things were depressed, and he made financial history, actually, by realizing that the bank, remember, there was no Federal Reserve System in those days, so Dad decided to close the doors of the bank and paid back every depositor 100%.
He closed the doors of the bank?
Voluntarily. And paid back every depositor in the bank, 100%.
How long has he been in operation?
I don't know that for sure. I only know that many years later, my sister was in Paris having lunch at a sidewalk cafe, and she heard two men talking, obviously Americans, and they were discussing business and finance, and one of the men said that I know, happens to mention the fact that I know of only one bank, and went on to repeat his story, said it was a man in Pittsburgh.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. And this was what she overheard here.
When did he close it? When did this happen? Do you remember?
I don't.
Probably that major.
I don't remember. It wasn't during that big depression of 29. Mm-hmm. It was before that.
Oh, it
was before?
Oh,
yes. Because at that, in 29, he had already gone into the real estate business.
So it was before the Great Depression?
It was, yes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a sister?
Yeah. My older sister.
Other member, your immediate family consisted of?
A brother and a sister.
Your name?
James Samuel.
And when was he born?
I think 1907. Wait a minute. No, it couldn't be. My sister was born in 1903.
And what's her name?
Her name was Ethel Samuel Brooke. B-R-O-O-K.
Are they both
both dead?
Can you tell us something about your early life, your home life? You told us a little bit about your father's professions, various professions.
Yeah.
What about your mother and her home?
Mother was what she was supposed to be in those days. A housewife and a mother.
So I'm trying to think. How
an
soon?
An excellent cook, a marvelous seamstress.
Uh-huh.
A good mother.
How soon after they were married was the first child born then?
I think I screwed up on their, they must have been married in 03 if Ethel was born in 03, because they were married in March and Ethel was born in November. So they would have to have been married in 1903.
Were you very close with your brothers and sisters?
How close can you be when there are 5 years between my sister, who was the oldest, there was 9.5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We did get very close as we got considerably older. But until then, you know, I was sort of the test.
You were the baby?
I was the one in the way.
Right. What about your your religious life? Were your parents religiously affiliated in any way, or?
Yes, they were affiliated. They belonged to Rav Shalom, where I was horribly unhappy.
Why?
Because I was the poor kid on the block at that time. Our financial situation fluctuated, and when I was at Rav Shalom, I didn't belong to the in crowd, which expression, of course, was not used then. I didn't dress as well as the rest of them. Rav Shalom was a goddamn snobby, miserable place to go to. It was awful, except for Rabbi Goldenstein.
What was he like?
He was a wonderful man.
Rabbi Goldenstein?
Mm-hmm.
Were you bar mitzvah in those days? Did they count?
You're kidding. I never even knew what I'd heard of it in those days.
They didn't, they weren't very frequent.
Strictly confirmation.
What about in your household? It was very common for a lot of families to keep kosher at that point.
No.
Or still do that?
No. Mm-hmm. One didn't go to Rav Shalom and keep kosher.
Right.
Although I'm sure some people did. We did not. That I can recall.
Well, that's what I was curious about, you know.
No.
Were there any Jewish practices in your home at that point?
We observed the High Holy Days. We observed Passover, and I think that was the extent of it. Anything else for me was convenient, you know. I couldn't do my homework. If I came in without homework on Monday, it was because I couldn't write on Saturday, and Sunday I was sick, you know. That's why I say very convenient.
Did you go to school in that area?
Yeah.
Where was your schooling at that time?
At Roosevelt Public School, which was where the Loretta Street Giant Eagle now stands.
Now that's where it was.
Yeah.
And what type of school district? Were there a lot of Jewish children who went there? What was the area like?
I don't remember. See, I was born in Homewood, where we were the only Jewish family on the block.
So Roosevelt, so that is Greenfield, right?
Yeah, it was on Greenfield. The entrance was really Greenfield Avenue. The rear entrance was where was Murray.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that a Jewish area? Was there a lot of Jewish people at that time?
It wasn't then predominantly Jewish. Mm-hmm. The Jews were just beginning to come into Squirrel Hill when we moved here.
So Roosevelt was a full school to go all the way through high school?
It had, but then Alderdice was built.
Mm-hmm.
So my class was the first class that entered, or I guess you would say the oldest.
Right.
Yeah.
And what year was that? What year of high school were you in when you went to Alderdice?
I was in seventh grade.
They were seventh.
Uh-huh.
So you were the oldest that started.
I didn't graduate. I graduated from Shemlin.
Well, wait, before you go on, I want to ask about your home life. You said economically things weren't very well for your family.
Well, they were. They fluctuated.
Uh-huh.
With the times.
Can you tell us?
Plus, I came from a home where the father gave the proverbial shirt off his back to anyone who needed it, or presented a good enough case for it.
So there were a lot of people at the house.
Well, there were a lot of people at the house, but there were more hands
open
at the house than, you know, hands through the door.
I was going to ask if, were you able to attend college then, your further education, and your brothers and your sister?
My sister, who had her doctor's degree in French literature, was a very brilliant woman, girl, baby from day one, who graduated high school in 3 years, who, while she was still attending the University of Pittsburgh, was asked when a teacher on the faculty of Shenley High School died to take her place until they, to complete the semester until they got somebody, which should tell you something. She got her master's degree from Radcliffe, and her then she won a fellowship, one of two fellowships given to women in this country to study at the Sorbonne.
Rose was your sister?
Mm-hmm.
Did she initially get interested in French?
Always was interested in languages. She was a linguist. She traveled with Henri Barbus as his translator.
Forgive my ignorance. I've heard of it. How is my name spelled out?
H-E-N-R-I.
H-E-N. Okay, Henri
Barbus, B-A-R-B-O-U-S-A-C-E, I think.
Okay, that looks right.
You can look up in the dictionary.
Close enough. So she had an interesting life.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between you and your sister in terms of ages, though, right?
10 years.
10 years. So when she was gone, when she left,
I was still a kid.
You were still, right.
Yeah.
Right. How is that? That must have been a difference then when they left, your sister left.
Well, when she left home the first time, she went to Columbia. Then, but the only way my parents would let her go away to school, because she was so young, was to live with the three old aunts. After 1 year of living with the three old aunts, she chose to come back to Pittsburgh. And
lived at home again then?
Of course, in those days, absolutely. And finished her work at the university, and also in 3 or 3.5 years, I don't remember, then went on to Radcliffe, and then taught at Pitt for a year or two until she got the fellowship to study at the Sorbonne for her doctor's degree. But she did not get her doctor's degree from there.
Did she get it from Radcliffe? No.
She got her master's from Radcliffe. She did not get her doctor's degree from the Sorbonne because her thesis was too radical.
What was her thesis on?
I don't remember. But it was too radical, and they
turned it down.
Turned it down. Mm-hmm. She came back to the. She married in Paris and came back and taught at NYU.
She married in Pittsburgh?
No, she married in Paris.
She married in Paris.
And an American that she met in Paris, and she taught. taught at NYU. And then, because for reasons that I feel are her own, was asked to resign. I mean, I will not. She was one of the finest French teachers, or one of the finest teachers, simply because her door and her apartment were always open to her students. She could sense when a student was having a problem and chose to speak to the student and try to help work it out. This was the type of teacher she was. She went on to get her, then entered library school and got her master's in library science. Then she was offered a job in the French department at Hofstra University. While she was at Hofstra, they said they would like to make her head of the French department, but could not do so until she got her doctor's degree. So she entered Columbia. On her 70th birthday, she got her doctor's.
Isn't that something very special? Wow. Sounds like you're very proud of her also.
Yeah, she was a pain in the ass. I loved her nonetheless. I mean, everybody loved Ethel. You couldn't, but Ethel was Ethel, and she could drive you bonkers.
How would you describe your relationship as sisters?
Typical.
Let me stop you right now.
She didn't know anything. I didn't know anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll continue on the other side, because we're going to run out of tape in a minute.
Okay.
So we'll finish up with...
Thank you.